Hi everyone, welcome back to Heavenland Devotions, The Little Green Pasture. Praise the Lord. Today I'm just going to share my heart with you, and I look forward to doing that because I feel the river flowing. So as usual, of course, I'm going to seek to the one I love, the one you love. We want to honor him. Besides, really, you're not here to hear from me. You're here to hear from him, to hear his sound. Dearest Lord Jesus, I thank you so much. Lord, that I am just like a little sheep of your pasture, your green pasture. And Lord, it is to you I look to ask you, Lord, to fill me up. Let those living waters flow through me, Lord, and let them hear your sound, and let your presence dwell among us. And Lord, I pray that all who are thirsty come. Lord, I love that invitation. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let all those who hear say, come. And let all those that thirst come. And let them drink of the river of water of life. In Jesus' name, Lord, I praise you and thank you. Amen. You know, sometimes in this life, in this journey home to heaven, you know, there's so many variables to it. There's ups, there's downs, and there's so much to this walk home. I mean, when we read the word, we see so many different physical analogies and metaphors of walking, sitting, standing, running, laying down, sleeping, lamenting, sorrowing, all these things that just go into this life. And so I want to just pose the question to you. Do you ever just have seasons in your life, or a season in your life rather, where everything just feels like it shuts down around you, like everything's fine, everybody's happy, but it's something within yourself, something that you feel that it's like a slow buildup until it, and it builds up to a place where you find yourself like everything becomes pale, everything loses its color. And you begin to want more of Jesus, not more books to read, or even the devotions you do, or there's something where you say, I have to acknowledge this. Well, I've been experiencing that for a while, and I've experienced that before. And this time, I just got really quiet. I had a good time in the Lord today. I woke up early as I do, and I went out and a great while before day into the solitary place and there prayed. I poured out my heart to the Lord. Then I was in his word, and the word was very alive to me. And though I went on with my day, my heart started to feel a heaviness. And I started to feel almost kind of melancholy, and I get nervous when I'm not nervous, but I have to really check myself and say, okay, everything's okay. Everybody's happy. Everybody's healthy. All these things. But I've been around a long time, so I recognize it as being spiritual. And it wasn't the enemy either, but I knew it was the Lord drawing me out. And that's why we find ourselves in these seasons, is because God wants to draw us to himself, but not in our habit ways or things that we do. There's something else. And it almost feels like we're outgrowing something, that there's something that we've been around the block enough times or around that mountain. And we start to feel, as the Israelites say, will say, the Jews will say in the millennial kingdom, this land is too narrow for us. And sometimes it feels like this land gets too narrow for us. for us. And we have a monotony of life, the familiar, and sometimes that can play a part in that. But I've lived long enough to say that sometimes I really reflect and say, Lord, I praise you for the familiar, and I thank you for the monotonous, because I've been in places where I wished I had the familiar and the monotonous. But what I want to talk to you about today is something about when you reach those places where you just kind of just sit there and you just want to stare out of a window, you know, and you look up to your Creator and you just quietly look for Him. A quietness comes over you. And everything becomes noise. Your favorite writers, your go-to places to be fed. And all of a sudden, just a quietness comes over. And I believe that's what He wants. Been thinking about what our lives are here on earth. Our lives are just not some random experiment. We're absolutely every day getting closer and closer to going to heaven. And you know, today in my own heart, I just felt like I so stretched out to God in my prayer. And I had noticed that my prayers have been mounting and gaining some kind of a strength, something that I don't normally engage God with, where all of a sudden I just said, I want to just come in open-handed and I'm going to trust you, God, with all those I pray for and everything, because I need to talk to you myself. And I love all the examples I read in my Bible of people who just can't come to Jesus, or times in my life where I just came to the end of whatever it was when I was in life, at what portion of my life I was in, where I just said, I'm going to Him. I don't know what's going to happen, but I've reached the end of something. And while I was pondering on this, I thought about that scripture in Matthew 27:51. And it says, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Of course, graves burst open and there was a local resurrection. But the part I want to talk about is the veil of the temple that rent from the top to the bottom. And for some reason, I just got this vision in my mind, like I can see this beautiful tapestry that was very thick from what I understand. I think it was like half a foot thick. I mean, it was a thick woven veil and it was torn from the top to the bottom. And that just, those words came into my mind and I said, Lord, you did that on purpose so that we would look through that veil, so that we would come through the veil. Yes, it signifies Jesus tearing open. His body was broken for us. He came from heaven. He was going to go back to heaven. His blood was shed for us. The tearing of His flesh and His death, His cry, it is finished. And then as soon as He said that, it is finished, He said, Lord, I commend my spirit unto you, my soul. And then he died. And right then that veil opened. And I said to myself, Lord, I want to think about that veil, because it ripped from the top to the bottom, where you opened up a way violently. There was a violent death of your son, and there was this violent ripping of this veil that kept us, humanity, apart from you. And I really question myself. I'm just getting really personal here because I just feel like doing that today. I just really want to just come with everything in my heart today. And if it speaks to you and ministers to you, I pray it will to someone out there. But there's something that's wild and something aggressive that happens in me and should happen in us that says the veil must be ripped open. There has to be bloodshed. which was done once and for all by Christ. But that rending, that ripping, that tearing of that veil, I feel like there's something in us, something wild that happens to us. And I hope it happens to you. And I felt that wildness. I have felt that wildness through my whole life, where I felt like religious activities and religious things had an end. And I've come to these little ends along the way where I became radical in my faith, radical, where I said, I don't care, I'm going alone. I'll tear the veil myself. And I just have this image in my mind today of this torn open veil where I can walk through that veil. And that veil is open. John, the Revelator in Revelation 4, verse 1, he said, I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven. And I said to myself, there is a door open in heaven because Christ is the door into heaven. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But I said, yes, Lord. But that veil opened first. And I just felt this pulsating in my heart, this life. I felt this, that I use that word pulsating. It's the only English word, the language I could use. And I just felt like this pulsating power of his life within me, where I felt it was greater than my own life. And I said, I want to get past. I want to push through. I want to push through those that want to throw me off the brow of the cliff. And I thought about Pharaoh and the children of Israel and their bondage, and that they have been crying for 400 years, and their cries of the oppression were reaching the ears of the Lord, Sabaoth. And while they were crying out to him, there was somebody in the desert God was preparing. And they didn't know that Moses was out there. They just went on in their monotonous life and their slaving away for some leeks and onions and pottages. But you know, God said, I want you to tell Pharaoh, let my people go that they may serve me. And the call was for them to go into the wilderness to serve him. He didn't want them to serve in Egypt. And Pharaoh really represents in a different kind of way. If you look at these Israelites, they are monotheistic. The Jews are monotheistic. They believe in Adonai. Though they were in slavery, they were still crying out to him because they knew there was something he could do. And they kept going generation after generation after generation. Brick after brick, brick after brick. And I thought about how when you really want to break out of that, people will oppose your life. They will oppose your inward life, where that life of that sap life of Jesus Christ lives. Pharaoh represents this Egyptian world we live in. Notice how he said, they be idle, give them more work to do. And so they took the straw away from them and their ability to make brick. And they didn't understand. They were angry at Moses. They were like, what are you doing? I mean, they were like, yeah, we want deliverance, but this is all, you know, this is what we do. And in a way, I see that this religious world, it is very external. So there's a lot of demand of external things that we do. I'm not talking about what you do for work or home or anything else. I'm talking about your spiritual life, because you have to have one. And the pharaohs of your house and the pharaohs of your friends and the pharaohs of your work and the pharaoh of, maybe it's your pastor, maybe it's leaders at church, maybe it's people you work with, I don't know. But they will call you idle, because you want to go worship God in the wilderness. And so they'll put on you things that are harder. They'll give you, we're okay, we'll give you something to do. And so you find yourself making bricks without straw because you think, well, at least I get to do something for the Lord, but you are still a slave. You see, Satan is terrified of the believer that says, I'm going to go, I want to go, and I want to go inward with Christ. I want to forsake the flesh profits nothing. I don't want to keep doing the things I've been doing before I've outgrown them. I don't want to keep eating the same leeks and onions and garlic and cantaloupes, even though I'm living by the iron smelting furnaces of Egypt. And I look at that as this in a different way, in just my own concept. Not to take away from the original story or to create a new doctrine, but in a devotion, because that's what this channel is all about. It's Heavenland devotions. And so I see that when the enemy knows you want to get out from under his control in religious things, he will fight like Pharaoh. He will fight against God in you to keep you from leaving him. And all the complaining. See, there's really a call on the lives of believers. You know, we're so quick to say, come out ye from among them, you know, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And we say that with such ease, like, well, you just got to come out from among them and serve the Lord. But you got to think about what that really means. He means literally come out from among them. Yeah, you still keep your job. You still stay married to your spouse. You still live in the same house. I'm talking about saying there's something more. There is a veil that is torn, and God tore it because he wants me to come through that veil. But Satan will do everything he can to prevent you from doing that. Notice all the people were so angry with Moses and Aaron. Why? Because God said, I want them to go out to the desert in the wilderness to worship me. See, they did, in a sense, outgrow Egypt. They've been there long enough. Their children, all those generations knew only slavery and still knew God. You know, there is a slavery, a religious slavery today that will box you in, that will control your life. You know, I want to say something. I felt something, and I learned this a long time ago. Whenever I would start feeling like kind of a spiritual depression, and I knew it was not the enemy. You know what it was? It was that I was had did not have freedom, that I was having to answer to somebody. I had to live up to somebody's expectation of me. I had to agree to keep everybody happy, though they were going crazy with their stuff. That was all part of my journey. But I passed that way. You know why? Because I outgrew it. And the outgrowing of the Egypt that you were living in, the world, and then narrow it down, like I said, down to what you do, where you live. You know, there's always a call from Christ. But you notice where the worship was required from him, the wilderness. You know, I was thinking about this message today, and I felt like I was being tossed up and down, to and fro, and I was feeling such deep spiritual movement within myself. And then I thought of something Amy Carmichael said from her book, Rose from the Briar. In the beginning of it, she said, she talked about her body being broken. She didn't expect to be where she was, but she said, these messages did not come. She said, these messages came during the storm. not when there came a great calm. And I say our greatest messages are that which come through a great storm. Our messages come then, not in the calm. And I want that. I want the violent tossing. I want the violent wind. I want the rocks to be broken apart before me in the presence of the Lord. I want the earth to quake. I want flames of fire. Like Spurgeon said, he said, I'd rather have a roaring lion than a sleeping one. You know, when I was a little girl, I was very wild in nature. And as I grew up, I always felt this wildness. And I always wanted so much of something greater that I couldn't grasp, I couldn't touch, I couldn't see, but I knew within me that there was something greater. And then I had to go all the way like everybody else. And I've said this story before, but I'm going to share this story again because it demands it. And I want to share it. This was many years ago. And this ended it. This is something God said to me. I became friends with an individual. And this friendship kind of happened. It came upon me too fast. Like it pretty much overtook me. Like this person was a nice person. They meant well. But they were like, I just want to pray with you more. I want to talk to you more. And I'm really a private person and I don't like talking on the phone. And my private time, like I'm always engaging with something. So when I have any private time, I keep it private. So this person was like, you know, I'd like you to meet some friends of mine. And she was at a church. Now, I do not fellowship at a church. I fellowship. I have people all around me and people that I'm connected with that are beautiful believers. And so that's where I'm at. And one day she called me and she said, Joni, I have you on speaker. And all of a sudden I was like, well, like what's happening here? And she said, oh, this is so-and-so. And it was a guy, you know, and she said, yeah, this is so-and-so. And we have a ministry and I'm like, okay, you know? And so we went ahead and we made you a part of this ministry and, because we know you love to pray and so forth and so on, and these different attributes about myself. And so from now on, we're going to start meeting on this day and we'll conference on that day. And hopefully then we can make plans. And I'm listening to all this and I was weaker back then because nowadays I'd be like, no, I never said yes to anything. So they volunteered me for it. So in my weakness, I just went along with it. And I talked to them, I think one more time and maybe a time after that. And after about 2 weeks of that, I felt like somebody poured water over all the fire and I was less than a smoking flax. I was bowed down. Like I was like, I felt so depressed and I was under a dark cloud. And I sat there in my bed that morning and it was a spring morning and the windows were open. I was reading my Bible and it was that hour that I always call it the golden hour of that day because the sun was rising, the perfumed air was coming in my room and I couldn't read my Bible. And I looked through that window and I said, Lord, I said, I can't take it anymore. I have to be honest. I said, I don't remember all the exact words, but it was something like this. I said, I don't want to be controlled. I said, I'm wild. And I yelled it out. And I said, I've always been, and I'm sobbing at this point. I'm wild. I've always been wild. I said, and I will be wild. I said, I want to serve you in the wild. I said, Lord, do your clouds, are they restricted? No, they're wild. They go in their courses. And the currents of the oceans and your waters of the world, do they wrestle? Do they fight? No, they're wild. And the wild waters. And I said, in your winds, do they do they have a problem with going in their power? And I said, Lord, I want to go like that for the rest of my life. Just then, I had this image. I had not an image. I had like this little vision. And I'm looking where it looks like I'm like you can only see it with binoculars. But in the spirit, I can see this big valley and mountains on either side. And I saw this green, lush grasses that looked like I could see forever. And all of a sudden, it narrowed down, this vision I was getting narrowed down like this until I can just see a tiny yellow looking clover flower. And I'm watching this before my eyes, and I hear Jesus say to me, he said, do you see that little wildflower? He said, I planted that for myself. He said, if someone were to take that little wildflower where it's growing in the wild, and they took it, even if they were the best gardener, and they brought it into a city, and they took it somewhere else, and they even tried to use the same soil, and they put it in the same sunlight, and they do all these things to get it to grow, he said, it would die. It would die. And he said, you are that little flower. I made you to be wild. And I think of those words of Proverbs chapter 30. What is this? Who is he? And what is his name? And what is his son's name? Who is he that can gather the wind, who gathers the wind in his fists and gathers all the waters of the water of the seas in his garment? But the part that I bring out is, see, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And when I started to become controlled by a religious organization, that kind of thing, I felt a death. I did. I felt like I was dying, and a great sadness came over me. And you know what I believe now, looking back? I think it brought some sadness to God's heart. So why am I saying this to you? This isn't just about me. This is about you. Maybe you are feeling boxed in Egypt, probably because you're outgrowing all your teachers, nothing wrong with them. Maybe because you're outgrowing all the things I've already mentioned, and a veil stands before you torn in two. That veil was on earth. You know, God wants you. He wants you to remember, you are on a journey home. And God is going to take you there. But you have to let him have time with you in those times where you start feeling like you're outgrowing something. I don't think we're supposed to ever feel comfortable all the way through. There's something wrong to just settle. I think that God is always calling us to the highest summit of heaven. He was always calling us. And you know what? Our own doings are not going to make that happen. I was going to say a whole lot more today about continuing on in your journey, and I had some scriptures. But I just say to you today, there is a thread through the Bible where it says, well, maybe I'll just say it. I'll try to say it quickly. You know, Job had a surrendered life. You know, when his kids were out there partying and doing and sinning, it said that Job rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of all of his children, and said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. See, Job just did it continually. It doesn't say he hoped that he would see something. It just said he did it continually. In 2 Chronicles, Solomon's servants, it said, the queen of the south said to Solomon, "Happy are thy men and happy are these thy servants, which stand before thee and hear thy wisdom." They stand continually before thee. And I say, shouldn't that be our happiness, in that we're standing before him continually? And the place of your prayer walk, where it says in 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. And then the words of your mouth, David says in 34 verse 1 of Psalm, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And when you do that, others will observe your life that you live and work with. It says, let them, in Psalm 35:27, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. See, your life will cause people to start continually saying things about you. They won't be able to help it. Doesn't matter if they're saved or not. They're seeing something different in you. And if you're truly saved, you'll have an unending testimony. In Psalm 40, verse 16, it says, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. And you know, as you go along in your life, you will always have a safe place to go, because you made God your refuge continually. It says in Psalm 70, verse 3, be thou my strong habitation where I unto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. And your life will always be connected to God. David says in Psalm 73:23, nevertheless, he's talking about his enemies are always on top of him, but he says, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. If you're holding somebody's hand, then you're continually with them. Don't ever let go of God's hand. Ever. Don't ever join hands with somebody else, even if they think they're doing something right by God. Like those people who I'm sure meant well, but volunteered me. Don't ever let go of his hand. And your life will bear a testimony. Also, in other matters and circumstances, look at those three boys that went into the fire. Not the three boys, I am sorry. When Daniel was told he was guilty, that he broke Persian law because he prayed. See, your life of prayer infuriates the devil. And so he'll bring powers around you, because there is a king and there's 100 presidents here, okay? And I think it was 100 presidents, don't quote me, but it was a large group of men, these Persian men, and they found fault with him and they tricked the king, and the king loved Daniel. And so he had to go into the lion's den, and the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and they cast him into the den of lions. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And he stayed up all night fasting and crying. And as soon as the sun was up, it said he ran to the den. And when he got there, he cried with a lamentable voice and said unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, can't you just hear that lamentable voice? O Daniel, servant of the living God. I feel like he's had to maybe cry it out because he's in a den. He's not just talking. Daniel, are you there? No, I picture a man. He's been crying all night. He's in throes. He gets over there and he says, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then you could just hear a muffled voice from the cave. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king. See, there's something about you continuing and continuing and continuing. I've given you some examples to see. Just keep going. Continue on your journeys. Keep your foot in the paths of Jesus Christ. Keep your footing, because right now there's so much that's going on in the world that you will not really recognize it, but your feet will start going into different directions. And all the things that you have learned in your life from the Lord and the practices that you've practiced within the habits that you've had continually can be easily and slightly taken away from you, because a time is coming. And all these continuations that you have been doing are for your conditioning and to train you and to teach you what foundation your feet are on. If the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? And don't forget, God cares continually. It says the goodness of God endureth continually. And he says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. All thy walls are continually before thee. So just keep going. Worship God continually. Live before everybody continually. Don't change it up. Don't try to drum something up. It doesn't work that way. Righteousness hath gone before us and has placed us in the way of his steps. Like my husband said this morning, and time of devotion, he said to me before he left for work, and we were talking about the things of this world, and he said, Joni, one day Peter walked on that water, and that is not a firm foundation, but Jesus called him to do it. But the wind came and he sank, but he cried out immediately. He said, Lord, save me. And immediately the Lord lifted him up with his hand, and they were in the boat. So as long as we stay in the boat, we can walk in places that no one else can. And the sea and the waves, they obey him. And we love him. I love these words of an old saint. She said, so you will ride at ease over the breakers of this mortal life and not care too much what befalls you, not from carelessness, but from the soaring gladness of heavenly love. And finally, Amy said, before I leave the desert land for meadows of immortal flowers, lead me where streams at thy command flow by the borders for hours, that when the thirsty come, I may show them the fountain's way. O love of God, do this for me, maintain a constant victory.